Mariner Books and Harper Audio present Holding Fire, A Reckoning with the American West by Bryce Andrews. Read by Sean Taylor Corbett. A note before we begin. To view photos from the book, don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/pages/holdingfire. For Thea. Finally, the moment arrives when the last sustaining piece is removed and the tree stands again on its own. It is as though its weight for a moment stood on your heart. You listen for a thud of settlement, a warning creak deep in the intricate joinery. You cannot believe it will hold. How like something dreamed it is, standing there all by itself. How long will it stand there now? The first breeze that touches its dead leaves all seems to flow into your mouth. You are afraid the motion of the clouds will be enough to push it over. What more can you do? What more can you do? W.S. Merwin, Unchopping a Tree. Author's note. Montana is full of ruins. From where I sit now, I can see a cabin collapsing inward, a barn listing like a holed ship, and the last three upright poles of what was once a long hayshed. Craftspeople built these things with hard work and simple tools. Now the builders are gone and the structures are going. It is humbling to consider. More humbling still, since those slumping buildings are not really very old. They record just a single late chapter of this region's deep and complicated history, memorializing only a handful of the countless generations that called this place home. This note reminds the reader that Native people have lived for millennia in what we now call the West. Despite recent centuries of injustice, indigenous communities still thrive here. The book you hold is set in western and central Montana, in the ancestral territories of the Saedlish, Ketlish Bay, and Kasanka peoples. Salish, Kalispell, and Kootenai in English translation. It is jarring and necessary to compare those ancestral homelands with the tribes' current reservations. Consider the Salish and Kootenai tribes on whose reservation, the Flathead, the book's latter half unfolds. From time immemorial, Salish-speaking bands hunted, fished, and traveled across 22 million acres of western Montana. The Kootenai people lived to the north in a territory reaching from Montana into Canada, Idaho, and Washington. The Flathead Indian Reservation, a greatly reduced portion of the tribe's homelands, today totals 1.3 million acres. The geographical math is unmistakably cruel, and the violence done to native cultures extends far beyond loss of land. That hard truth is the context of every Western story. It is worth remembering as you listen. R. Lee, Montana, August 2022. 1. Double Exposure. We left the truck and walked through bunch grass, the whole prairie rattling with August heat.
A bad year for hoppers, Pat Zentz said.
Bending down, I cupped one in my hand to feel its kicking. I was 11 years old and looked closely at everything. The insect was heavy for its size and strong. My father went ahead toward the prairie dog town with a rifle slung from his shoulder, white shirt and cowboy hat stark against late summer pasture. I had never seen him with a gun before, and he carried it well. It was easy to forget that we were visitors on the Zents Ranch, fresh off the highway from Seattle. From where he and Pat stopped, I could see the colony sprawling for acres across a plain. Much of the ground was bare, the dirt piled in low, pale mounds. The remaining stubble was chewed short, as if the earth had a 5 o'clock shadow. Prairie dogs moved everywhere through the panorama, sunning beside holes, scratching in dust, and standing upright like sentries. A nearer one vanished, as if by sleight of hand. Until recently, Pat was telling Dad, there had been enough ferrets, coyotes, foxes, and snakes to keep the population down. Now the dog town spread farther across his pastures each year, eating grass that livestock
Sample complete. Ready to continue?